Wow, it's so good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? It's the best place to be. So, I was thinking about faith and healing and how our God can do the impossible. You feel that way? Do you know it? God, He can do all things. And when it seems like it's the deepest of impossibilities, he shows himself, you know. And I was thinking of this verse. I just want to read one and say a few things. But Jeremiah 29, if you want to turn there. You probably know it by heart. But in light of tonight, it will be fresh. Jeremiah 29. Verse 11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expectation. Yeah, what does that mean? Expectation. Can we expect God to do things? Can we expect God to honor His promises? Can we expect God to be faithful in all things? I mean, it's amazing that there are over 7,000 promises in the scriptures, and not one of them in 1 Kings 8:56 will fall to the ground. So what an advantage we have. We have a God who makes promises, and He can never lie. He can never fail. And I was thinking of something Pastor Shala shared in West Virginia about the woman seeking Jesus because she had an issue of blood. And she was coming after Him for healing. And she had this idea in her mind, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be healed. She had an expectation. She had a faith. How big was that faith? I don't know, but she just was like touched in her heart to exercise faith that God would do it. And it's such a beautiful story because many people are touching Jesus physically. But this one touched Him in a different way, touched Him with faith, with an expectation. And it says virtue went out of her. And that's how it can be in every church service. Psalm 107:20 says He sent His word to heal. That is amazing. Every word that God says has an ability to deliver and heal. And I was thinking about how valuable church is, that we come and faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and that every single time that our ear is open to the scriptures, to the promises, to the things that are said behind the pulpit, it's a word that is steadfast and sure. It's a word we can trust because it came from God. And God can heal. God does amazing things. I love Isaiah 61. And it's verse 2 and 3 that God gives beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning. You know, sometimes it seems like that's all we have is just emptiness, ashes, nothing. And we're just saying, God, I need help. Maybe you're discouraged tonight. But we heard a word this morning about joy comes in the morning. We heard a message about God brings joy to the one who is low and can encourage and lift him up. And Isaiah 61 is beautiful. You know, the only message that Jesus ever preached from the Bible in Luke chapter 4, what was it? He came to set the captives free. He's a deliverer. He had gracious words on that day. He opened to Isaiah 61 and he began to read. And people were astounded that his words were so edifying and precious. And I just love it. I love it that maybe if someone had an addiction of some kind, and there are many of them today, seemingly impossible to escape. But God makes promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that he will provide a way of escape. He will do it. It's a promise that cannot fail. You say, well, I've been struggling for years, but God can speak a word, and in a moment it can be delivered. And maybe tonight's that night for you that, you know, I like coming to God with expectation. I remember, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was first saved, I lived in a little town in Pepperell, Massachusetts. I was going to a ministry, Bible Speaks ministry in Ayer, Massachusetts. And yes. And after a few months of going to the church, I started to realize that the words that were spoken from the pulpit were doing something to my heart. They were coming off the pages and they were like filled with life, and I really began to start to believe God for things that were impossible. And I think it's not about being a famous person in the Bible like Moses or David, or, you know, I think it's not about being like some celebrity type person, just a common person, just a normal, common individual that can believe God for something. It's amazing how God will honor it. It really is. And this is really kind of funny, but I took my dad's car to the beach, and I was in my 20s back then. And I went and didn't bother to look at the gas gauge. Of course, that's not important. and just had such a great time driving around by the ocean. And then I realized, wow, I'm awfully hungry and it's time to go home. And I looked at the gas gauge and it's just sitting on that little thing that, you know, it couldn't go any lower. It's just over. And I said, wow. I said, and it was one of those times when things that were said in church were still resident in my heart. And I was thinking about it, and I said, God, you're here and you know this situation. And you know what I would like? I would like some gas money to get home. And actually, my favorite restaurant's right coming up there. I could take maybe enough for that and the gas. So I calculated, even with $2, I can drive home. With $5, I can get something to eat at a very good place. And so I said, God, I need $7. I need $7. I don't know. I said, this is crazy, but I believe you're going to do it. And I grabbed the steering wheel. I looked this way. I looked this way. There was nothing there. I made the turn to where the restaurant is. And a lady, you know, I think it was a lady in a, what do you call those cars? Beach car, the long wagon. And she's shaking her beach towel out the window. And this thing just kind of falls into the road, looks like a cigarette pack. But I'm not sure. It's kind of greenish, you know. And so obviously pull the car over, check it out. You did pray. You know, the worst thing it can be is it'd be, you know, some piece of paper or something. So I got out of the car. I walked to the side where you can pull off, and this huge truck comes, huge, I mean, and it ran it over, and it broke up into 7 $1 bills. And you know how behind the truck the wind kind of pulls it? Well, all the little bills were coming, and they're kind of landing here and here, and I'm picking them up thinking, wow, I wonder if there's going to be a 10 in there. It was 7 $1 bills. And I didn't know what to do. I held the money in my hand and I stood there and I said, wow, this really happened. The second thing was, no one will believe it. And the third thing was, should I even spend it? Because it came from God. It was so precious. Because God answered the impossible. He really did. And I know that we can't like pray like that all the time, expecting it will go that way. And that was part of the growing process in my life. And I'm sure all of us have had those moments where God answered exactly how we were hoping. And then we grow and we mature more. And we don't require a sign. But, you know, it always stayed with me that when it comes time to ask God for something, believe Him. Have an expectation that He'll do it. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Would you stand with me, if you're able? And turn to John chapter 6. Great service tonight. Wow. And it will continue by the grace of God. Someone called me today and asked me, like, can you preach tonight? My first thought was to use the word no. Because I had been on the phone for 3.5 hours this afternoon with some things. And I was like, I think the call came when? About 4:30? 5 o'clock? I don't even know when it was. It was like, I'm like, yes. I mean, the no wanted to really come out, you know. The no, I don't know where that was coming from, though, the flesh. But I pray. And I said, yes, yes. So John chapter 6, I can't even read this Bible. I don't even know why I brought it up here. It's got small print, 663. Let's look at verse 60. John chapter 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this saying, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at this, he said unto them, "Does this offend you?" So they thought what Jesus was saying was hard, and it offended them, and they were murmuring. "What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up from where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And then just jumping down to verse 68. After Jesus asked them in 67, "Will you also go away?" He said, "To whom shall we go?" Peter answered, "You have the words of eternal life." Thank you, Jesus, that you have words of eternal life. Where are we going to go to find them? The words of eternal life. We pray that you would touch our night tonight through the word of God, through prayer, people coming forward and just believing with God's faith that the one who is faithful calls them and he will heal, he will touch. We thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There were two groups of people here. There was one group of people that were listening and said, "This is a hard saying. Who can bear it?" And they were actually offended by the word. They were offended by the word. "This is a hard saying. Who can hear this?" And there was someone else who would initiate a statement in the word of God, and he said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." As it's used there in the Greek language, it means you have the personal words of eternal life. These words are so personal to me. Isn't it awesome that God speaks to us personally? Amen? Amen. He speaks to us personally as we study the Bible, and that's so important. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, it can grow to 7, 10, 15, 20, that we hear the word of God being preached, we get the teaching of the word of God. We are a very, very blessed group of people There are many people on the face of planet Earth that are saved but never have an opportunity because they don't have a Bible. Did you know there's many people that are saved without a Bible? They have no Bible. I read a story about a Chinese woman who a missionary came up to her and was talking to her. She was sitting on a bench, and he sat down there and he was talking to her about the New Testament and some of the scriptures there. And she started to cry, and he said to her, "Why are you weeping?" She says, "Well, I've never read that part. I've only got up to a certain point. All we have is a certain part of the Old Testament. I've never had an opportunity to read the New Testament." And there are actually people that are like that. We are, hallelujah, we are very what? Very blessed. And many, many places around the world, you can find tribes and groups of people, language groups of people, that do not have the scriptures in their language. And it becomes very difficult for them. And that's why there's always a great effort being made to translate the Bible and bring the Word of God into many places, really, that have never heard the preaching of the Word. As a country, the United States of America, we are doubly blessed, triply blessed, that everywhere we go, you can buy a Bible, you can get a Bible. And, you know, it was so interesting. One time a person said to my brother in China, "Do you have, by any chance, do you have Holy Bible? Do you have Holy Bible?" And I don't ever want to get familiar with the Word of God, whether reading it, studying it, or listening to it. Because I want to believe what Peter said. Where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. They are personal words to me that God speaks to us. Then Peter and the Word of God, there's three statements that are made. These words are spirit, they are life, and they're eternal. And I think that's so important. Number one, these words are spiritual words. They may be black letters on white pages, but when the Word of God is penetrating through our lives because we are born again, that these are spiritual words. I read today Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and it says, "With many words did Peter testify, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.'" It says he spoke many words, always speaking many words. And by the way, I like what it says, "Save yourselves from this spilogenia, this untoward generation, this wicked, polluted, perverse, evil generation." That's what it was in those days. Can you imagine if evils waxed worse and worse? In Romans chapter 13 and onward, save yourself. Wait a minute. God saves us. It's by grace. It's the gift of God. What do you mean, save yourself? Well, he's not talking about salvation, where we say yes to God and we are born again. But he's talking about a daily deliverance. He's talking about being delivered every day from everything that's going on in this world. You can, and the word is sozo, you can save yourselves from this polluted, perverse, evil, wicked generation. And immediately he starts speaking many words. He exhorted them. He told them the importance of hearing the Word of God on a daily basis. I was thinking today, do you know how many words are spoken by an individual in the course of a day? Whew, it's incredible. I mean, imagine how many words are spoken and how many of them actually mean nothing. They mean absolutely nothing. I mean, just on and on. I had the great privilege of being someplace last weekend, and I heard so many words. And they tired me. I was exhausted just from listening to words that were not spiritual. They weren't spiritual, just on and on, talking and talking, hour after hour after hour after hour, about nothing. And I'm going like, whew, wow. Be patient, sit there, smile, love people, wait for an opening, tell them the gospel. But how many words are spoken? And what it is for us is just to be people who bring this word. With many words, he exhorted and testified to them, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It's so important that I am hearing God's words. I'm hearing the words of God. These words are what? They are spirit. They're not flesh. There's all kinds of words that come out that are flesh. I mean, I didn't turn a TV set on today. Not that that's wrong if you do or you don't. But you can hear so many words. Am I right? You can sit there and... By the way, do you know the average American watches television 6 to 7 hours a day? Did you know that? 6 to 7 hours a day from the time they come home, 5:30, 6 o'clock, up until, who knows, 11 o'clock at night. And that's if they don't do it in the daytime. They're just hearing what? Words coming in, words coming in. I'm not saying that some of them are not listening to spiritual words. Maybe they are. But most people are just listening to what? Words. Then they form their opinions. They make their decisions. They go on in life based upon all the words that they are hearing. And it is so important as we listen to the words of Jesus. The words that I speak are spiritual. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, the letter kills, we heard that, but the Spirit gives life. I need to hear spiritual words. By the way, did you ever talk to yourself? You ever build yourself up in the most holy faith? Hello? Okay, do it right now. Build yourself up. Just say, I'm awesome. In God's perfect plan, I'm what? I'm amazing. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm called by God. I am what I am by the grace of God. I mean, building yourself up. If I am not building myself up, it's going to be very doubtful if I'm going to build a whole lot of other people up. Because if I have an insecure, poor self-image in regards to me, what am I doing with you? So speaking to yourselves. Doesn't it say that speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Making a what? Melody in your heart? Speak to myself. You're driving down the road or you're at work and you're just talking to yourself and people think you're crazy. There's something wrong with that person. What's he doing? You look over there and he's just talking. He's building himself up or herself up in the most holy faith. Speaking to ourselves. And I think it's awesome. There's so many things that are out there in a negative atmosphere that I have to build myself up. I've got to say, you know something? You're amazing, Steve Schiavelli. You're incredible. You walk with God. You know God. You got a purpose. There's a plan for you. You know what? You can have an effect in this life. Instead of saying, woe is me. I am undone and unclean. I mean, come on, Isaiah. Stop talking about yourself that way. I'm unclean and undone. But thank God he said this, my eyes have seen the King. Okay? Unclean? No. Holy. You're holy. Undone? You have no ability? You've got the ability that comes from God. Building myself. I am Pastor Jerry Roberge. Do you know who I am? And speaking those things to the atmosphere, the projections that come, the demons that come. I remember one time, I tricked a demon. I was sitting in a chair and I was getting all these projections. And I said to the atmosphere, I'm not going to read my Bible today. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to church. Then I stood up and I said, stupid, you actually believe what I just said? It wasn't like a physical, visible demon. But it was projections that were coming. And I just, you know, said, yeah. Gotcha. Gotcha. Building yourself up, speaking to ourselves, and knowing who we are in Christ. That's why in Ephesians chapter 1, there's, I think, in 1 and 2 and into 3, but mostly 1 and 2, there are 30-something positional truths about who you are in Christ. And if I walk around just, instead of building myself up, beating myself up, hello? Come on now. I know you don't do that. Building myself up, speaking words to myself. Then we come to church and we meet people, and regardless of what's taking place in their life, we can edify them. Ephesians 4:32, Acts 14:3, a word of grace. Acts 20:32, a word of grace is given to people. I remember one time I've said this before, but I'll say it again. I made a decision. I wasn't going to lead evangelism. It was one of those Tuesdays, probably in 1994, that long ago. And I just didn't want to go, and I didn't really care who went to heaven or hell. I just sat in the back and said, I've had it. It's hot out. I'm not going to go do this. And probably nobody's going to show up. Nobody will listen to me anyway. So I'm sitting back there in the last row, and this was not like this at that time. I'm all by myself in the chapel. And all of a sudden, coming through the doors is Pastor Stevens. The doors walk, and you know how he walks with that determination? He was walking like right at me. And I'm going, oh my God. He knows that I didn't go out and lead this mission today. He knows. He's coming right at me. Why is he coming through the door? I know what time it was. What's he doing? I'm here. He's coming at me. And I'm getting a little bit intimidated and frightened. And he walks up to me and he says, Pastor Schiavelli, I am so glad you moved to Baltimore. You're such an amazing person to help us with evangelism. I said, oh my God. This is God building me up in my lowest estate. In my place, edifying. Like I know Marty Vieira tells his wife what an amazing woman of God she is. Yep, keep that neck moving. Huh? No, a husband ministering to the wife, a wife ministering to the husband, parents ministering to their children, speaking, and the house is an atmosphere of edification. And there's many words that could be spoken on and on, talking about this. And there's nothing wrong with it. I don't want to spend all day talking about politics, talking about what's going on in America, talking about this and talking about that. Before you know it, you're ready to go to sleep really quick. It's exhausting. It can be exhausting. You know what I love about Africans in one aspect? They say very little. A number of them came to Springfield years ago, and they said to me, a couple of them came and they said to me, Pastor Schiavelli, can we ask you a question? I said, sure. I said, why do you people talk so much? I mean, everybody's always talking. I said, I'm thinking like, I'm probably one of the worst offenders. And they said, like, just talking all the time about actually nothing. So actually nothing is going on. They're talking about this and talking about that. But God wants us to be people who are speaking many words to people that are words of edification. Peter says, listen, the words you are speaking to me, they are spirit and they are life and they are eternal. These are spiritual words. They are living words. They are eternal words. We need these words. And this is why people draw near. Who wants to come around somebody, whether it's a believer or not, and listen to all their complaints? You know, and this and this and this. You know, hey, how's it going? Oh, sit down. Let me tell you. You know, and all they're going to tell you about is this happened, that happened, the weather did this, this happened in my house, this pipe broke, this is not working, that's not going on, this kid did that, that girl did that, this person did this. What's going on? After a while, you're like, why did I open that door? I opened that door. And he's saying, listen, the words we speak to ourselves and the words we speak to each other should be words of edification, building people up. Hello? Are you with me? You go to Camp Life, what do you do? Camp Lifers, huh? What are you going to do with those young people? Build them up, edify them. I remember one time I got called into the office by a church hierarchy in a certain state. And they said, we went by your Bible study the other night and we saw people smoking on the porch. What are they doing? What kind of Bible study is that? I said, 2 weeks ago, they were shooting dope on the back porch. I said, can you imagine how much they've grown? From back porch to front porch, these people are amazing. They're not using heroin anymore. They're just smoking cigarettes. Someday they'll be like you. How about edifying them? I did 10 years working in prisons. And what do you think people in prison need? All they're surrounded by is people that are criminals. And negative words. The whole place is a negative atmosphere. It's nothing but evil in the atmosphere. And it's important, I believe it's important, that Christians go into places like that and minister with edifying words. With words that can set people free. That's what people need, to be set free. Calling those things that are not as though they are. Well, that's not telling the truth. Oh, really? Would you like God to tell you the truth? Huh? No. God doesn't say those. God edifies me. God builds me up. God ministers to me. God gives me comforting words, words of comfort, words that will help me. David said in Psalm 12 in a very interesting way. He said, "Help, Lord, Yasha, for the godly man ceases and the faithful fail from the children of men." Everybody's just talking vain. Vain talk. Words of no purpose. You know that in Ecclesiastes it says 84 times the word vanity or under the sun? A lot of words, vain, words, vain. No profit. Mean nothing. Exhaust us. I believe when we hear the word of God and we speak the word of God, we are quickened. We are made alive. The spirit quickens. The word quickens us. Amen? Sometimes we're dealing with all kinds of situations and problems that people have, whether they're in churches or anywhere. And what kind of words are we going to impart that can make a difference? Natural words? Fleshly words? Dead words? Temporal words? Or the Word of God? The Word of God on a daily basis with people's lives. Jesus was always speaking edifying words. What did he call that woman in Mark chapter 5? "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole." He called her daughter. What did he say in Mark chapter 2 to the paralytic who maybe he was being attacked because people connected his paralyzed situation to maybe his sin? You know what Jesus said? "My son, your sins are forgiven you. Rise up and walk." He said, "You're my son." How about Luke 15? Here's Mr. Wonderful Son. "This your son," this is what he did. "He wasted all of your inheritance that you gave him on riotous living." You know what he's done with it all? "Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you, brother, for those words." When he comes back, the father said, "This my son was lost, but he's found. This my what? My son. This is my son. My son," those are words that will edify, build the person up. Take them out of their situation and minister life to them. And it's amazing what it can do in people's lives, just speaking these kind of words to people, words that will make a difference in a person's life. And we have so many opportunities to do that everywhere we are. So many opportunities to minister the word of God to people, words to people that really need help. There's so many people that need words of edification, words to bring in deliverance. How important. Paul was a mess in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We heard something about that today. He was in big trouble. He was in all kinds of problems. Read the word in 2 Corinthians 11, 18 through 12, 10. And then you know what Jesus said? "Here comes some words to help you out, Paul. Forget about what you're in. I don't care what you're in, what problem you're in, what failure you're in, what sin you're in. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." Wow. Paul said, "I will most gladly." I'm becoming like so joyful. These words bring joy. The Philippians needed joy. I think it's 19 times in Philippians the word joy is used. 19 times joy. What was going on with the Philippians? They're in a Roman colony. They're under the attack of the Greeks and their wisdom thinking. The Jews of the concision are troubling them with legalism. They got their pastors is sick and dying, Epaphroditus. Their apostles in jail. What do you think they needed? What? Words to build them up. Words like, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God shall supply all of your need. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be content in whatsoever state you are in." This is what they needed. So we're going to find people. And they can be Christians. They can be non-Christians. And the words that we speak to them can change the course of their history. Are you with me? Words were spoken. By the way, how'd you get saved? Words. Did you hear anything? Words.
words, right? Somebody spoke to me. Somebody spoke to me, Jesus loves you. I was like, what? Me? Yes, you. Somebody spoke words and we got saved. Somebody spoke words and they said, come to church. Somebody spoke words and we went to Bible school. Somebody spoke words and we were built up and encouraged. David said this, he was in a real bad place in 1 Samuel 30, and he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Encouragement. Edification words. Thank you. I find that this church is amazing, always speaking words of edification. Always speaking words that edify, loving words, merciful words, words of faith. When you're living in unbelief, you hear words of faith, words of mercy when sin is at the door, words of grace when we live in ourself, words of faithfulness when we have unbelief everywhere around us. Thank God for words, God's words. Many, many things Peter just kept talking about, the Word of God. And that's so much what we need. There are so many words out there that can be so destructive and can hurt and bring so much pain. But God's words lift people up, edify them, help them to grow. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you tonight, God, for your Word is eternal. Not only is it eternal, but it brings life. Not only does it bring life, but it's spiritual. Not only is it spiritual, it helps me to take the next step and move on. These are words, God's words. God's words. So few people today, it's sad to say, not just around the world, but even in America, how many people really say yes to God's words, really look at God's words, really meditate upon God's words, really believe God's words, love God's words. David said, 119:97, oh, how I love your doctrine. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation day and night. Help us to be Word of God people. We thank you. If you are here tonight, you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, simply say this, Jesus. Say these words. Jesus, save me. Cleanse me of sin. Come into my life and make a difference in me. Help me to know you. Help me. Save me. I want to be born of the Spirit. If that's your prayer tonight, whether you're watching online or you're sitting here with your eyes closed, however it may be, just put your hand up. Jesus, save me. Jesus, save me. Deliver me. Deliver me. Your words. Your words are words of eternal life. Save me. We thank you tonight. Bless our night. In Jesus' name, amen.